your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. I am not your cultural crusader. This is one of his producers, rockstar Greg Tomlin, sitting in for the man who is out observing Passover. Yes, we did play some pre-recorded material for the first 2 hours, but it was still very newsy, very timely, and I am happy to help steer this ship in the right direction this hour as we await the coronavirus task force briefing in the White House momentarily. We will go to that live, but I'm relishing this opportunity, at least for the time being, to talk about this strange and bizarre moment we are living in right now. Yes, when the Jewish host is away, the Gentile producers come out to play, apparently. Let's get you right into some headlines from around the nation today. CNBC, Senate adjourns until Monday after Democrats block McConnell's bid to add $250 billion in small business aid. Nice to see everyone on Capitol Hill putting politics aside. Not so much. A rare bit of good news, the U.S. deaths may end up far lower than projected, that according to Dr. Fauci. We have some audio to play about that. It sounds like he's cautiously optimistic. He never wants to turn over all the cards. And again, models and data change rapidly, and they change every single day the more information and knowledge we have about this pandemic. But it appears, dare I say, that there could be a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know. We'll see. Down in Oregon, Oregon's public school students will not return to their classrooms this academic year as Governor Kate Brown announced that her school closure order, originally slated to end at the end of this month, will now stretch into June. Oh, joy. And a great bit of news. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was moved Thursday evening from the ICU, but remains at a central London hospital. He should live and be well. We all pray for a speedy recovery for Boris Johnson across the pond. Now, how do I want to start this show? I want to give out the phone number, first of all, because we haven't taken a lot of calls on just what everybody is doing right now in isolation and in quarantine. And people, I need some ideas. I've got three small kids at home, my wife and I. And, you know, besides playing out in the backyard, thankfully we are blessed with the sunshine and a bit of space to go run around during the day. I want to hear what those med heads are doing out there every day. What are you doing to interact socially? Is everybody going on Zoom? Are you calling your grandparents, your parents? Are you getting together but just maintaining distance 10 feet away? I need some ideas for how to spend this time, even though here at the Medved Show, we continue to work. Apart from that, we are stuck at home like the rest of you. Occasionally, my wife and I have been eating out, getting our growler filled at the local microbrewery. We actually went over to her folks' house about a week ago, and they have a deck in their backyard, and it's nice because it's fenced in, and so we had the kids play in their backyard while the grandparents stayed on the porch and sort of watched them play, but at least we got in some FaceTime that was not strictly virtual, not strictly digital FaceTime, looking at people through pixels, seeing actual human beings. So that's one of the things we've been doing. But what have you been doing? 1-800-955-1776, 1-800-955-1776. This has been a time where I have experienced a wide array of emotions in the past 3 weeks, as I'm sure so many of you have. Anxiety, worry, fear, nervousness, but also some joy, hope, moments of peace, and times of reflection. First and foremost, the weather we've been having has been an unmitigated blessing. I keep turning to my wife and saying, can you imagine if this was February 2nd or January 10th right now and it was 28 degrees and just raining ice from the sky? No, it's beautiful. It's glorious out there. That should put a smile to your face. The time with our family, if you use that wisely, can be priceless, absolutely priceless, and have infinite value. A new appreciation for all the things in our daily routine that we've taken for granted for so long. Seeing friends, giving hugs, going to houses of worship, going to a meaningful job, restaurants, concerts, sporting events. Don't waste this moment that we have right now. I know it presents a lot of hardship and adversity, but shall we never forget what we're experiencing right now? You know, I relate this, see if you can follow me for a second, to my journey, my roller coaster with gaining weight and losing weight that I've experienced my entire life. So many people know this who know me, that I lost about 130 pounds like 3 years ago, 130 pounds. And slowly but surely, you gain 5 pounds here, 15 pounds there, 10 pounds there. In the last 3 years, I've gained back probably 3/4 of the weight. What do I attribute that to? One of the things at the top of my list is that I forgot. I forgot what it was like to be overweight, to be lazy, to experience, you know, shortness of breath. I know it's weird to talk about, especially amidst a pandemic where there's respiratory issues, but I forgot all the difficulties of being overweight. And slowly but surely, I was able to pack the poundage on. And now that I'm experiencing that adversity again because I've gained some of that weight, I'm kicking myself because I forgot. I did not remember how painful it was to weigh over 300 pounds. Because when I was thin, everything was great. And as human beings, we are forgetful beings. Now, how does this relate to the crisis at hand? We will come out of this at some point. We absolutely will. Whether it's in the summer or in the fall, we will emerge from our houses, from our sheltering in place, and activity will resume. Do not forget what this felt like when certain things were taken away, when some of the comforts and luxuries and pleasures that we get to experience and that we're blessed with were taken away for this moment in time. Use it and use it wisely. Let's get into some of the audio here from the day. First, I mentioned this thing that happened in the Senate. We're going to go to Senator McConnell right now. This is audio of him pleading with Democrats on the Senate floor.
My colleagues must not treat working Americans as political hostages. This does not have to be, nor should it be, contentious. We don't have to divide along the usual lines so soon after we came together for the country. To my Democratic colleagues, please, please, do not block emergency aid you do not even oppose just because you want something more.
Please, pretty please, with a cherry on top. Yes, hear, hear, as Senator McConnell. We did have a brief moment. Maybe it was a day, maybe it was a few days where everyone put politics aside during this crisis, and then we went right back to it. There was never a doubt in my mind that that was going to happen. And now everybody's saying, how does this play into the presidential election and how can we score political points here? Or you hear many progressives and Democrats talking about, can we rein in a new progressive era coming out of this crisis? Never let a good crisis go to waste, God forbid. And that's truly a shame to see that happening. I saw this piece of audio from John Heilman, who is of MSNBC. He's a commentator, a talking head. Here's what he said about President Trump's response to this pandemic that we're facing right now. And it is hyperbolic. I was astounded by it, and I'll tell you why after you hear it.
And I don't think it's actually an overstatement to say that Donald Trump has, there are tens of thousands of people who will die in the country, or have, some of them have already died, more are still going to die because of Donald Trump's incompetence and lack of leadership. And he will try to argue his way out of that.
In other words, President Trump has blood on his hands from the people who have died from COVID-19. It's disgusting. Everybody wants to play Monday morning quarterback, or to mix metaphors here, backseat driver amidst this pandemic. And it's the easiest thing to do in the world because people who do that are not the ones in the arena. They're not the ones behind the wheel having to make decisions in real time. And there's no accountability for reckless opinions and wild accusations. There's no consequences for ham-handed and ill-considered assertions like this. If President Trump is single-handedly responsible from the now 16,246 deaths from COVID-19 in this country, then you would have to say at the exact same time that the Prime Minister of Italy, Giuseppe Conte, is responsible for 18,000 deaths. Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, responsible for 8,000 deaths. President Xi Jinping of China, 3,000 deaths, which is a smaller number than is the real number, obviously. And the Prime Minister of Spain, Pedro Sanchez, is he single-handedly responsible for 15,000 deaths in Spain? Look, all of the world was slow in responding to this pandemic. Why? Because China did not fully disclose the severity of this virus. Their misinformation campaigns and bogus propaganda will be responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths around the world. And in addition to that, and apart from that, it's worth noting that, breaking news, sometimes bad things happen in the world. And part of it, at least to a degree, is not necessarily any person's fault. We're not guaranteed a life without suffering, free from suffering. Look at human history for 5 seconds. We've been lulled into a false sense of comfort, security, and pleasure-seeking in modern America. And we've been taught to believe that if we don't have or get these things, that there has to be someone to blame for it. It's almost a bit of a neo-Marxist view of the world, and it's simply not true. Most of the human experience for millennia has been hardship, adversity, disease, plague, darkness, and people have to try and find the light amidst all of that. So I can't stand this urge, this insatiable urge to want to play Monday morning quarterback and go back, oh, he was slow to respond. We're slow to respond here. And henceforth, we're seeing all of these deaths. The travel ban to China was so early on, and President Trump was criticized as a xenophobe and a bigot for instituting it. What did you want him to do? If he had started shutting down everything early on, he would have received criticism for that too. It's hindsight is 20/20. It's a cliche because it's true. Let's see. Do we have a caller here? Let's go to John, who's listening to us in Houston. John, thanks so much for calling the Michael Medved Show. Producer Greg filling in while Michael observes Passover. How you doing, John?
Hey, great. Good to talk with you. So I was going to just kind of suggest, and you may have thought of this already, but we also have 3 kids, although our kids are a little bit older. They're like junior high and high school, so they're driving me crazy like everybody's kids are. In fact, I work out in the patio on the back porch here because that's the only place it's quiet to avoid all the yelling. But anyway, a couple things that they like doing. One is cooking. Kids always love cooking. Of course, our problem is everybody loves to cook and use every, utensil in the kitchen, but then nobody wants to clean up.
Bingo. But
what I was going to mention is, outdoor stuff other than biking and playing with ball and that kind of thing is gardening. Like build yourself an herb garden or something. That's what we did, which the kids just loved. And they can make all the mess they want outside and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. I love that you bring up that idea, John, because I was talking about the wide array of emotions I've been having in the last 3 weeks. And I distinctly recall having this conversation with my brother who lives in Nevada when this pandemic was starting to get for real. And I said to him, I go, look, I'm going to all the extremes here. And I said, part of me thinks I need to start growing crops in my backyard here because there's so much uncertainty. And I know it sounds crazy, but, maybe some tomatoes and garlic and some herbs back there.
Yeah.
Not a terrible idea. I'm not saying it's going to come to that point, but at least you can use this time to learn a new skill. And in the meantime, do something with your kids that is fruitful.
Yeah. And it's not only is it, beneficial, but it's very therapeutic. And we've been now in Houston, it's practically summer here now weather-wise, so perfect to be planting things out in the yard. But we have a really nice grill on our patio, and I've been grilling a lot more than I would normally in the warmer months, just because, again, the kids like to come out, they can throw stuff on the grill, they can make a huge mess, doesn't matter, just hose it down and go back inside where it's nice and clean and quiet, so again, that's another thing we've been doing a lot is just cooking out, maintaining our herb garden in the yard, and that's just good, healthy exercise and therapy, I think.
John, love the ideas. Thanks so much for sharing your experience. I agree with everything you said. I'm going to go home, get on the Google machine, and start learning how to plant some crops in my backyard. I think it's a brilliant idea. If you want to share your experiences, what you've been doing during this pandemic, I would love to hear about it. 1-800-955-1776. We did get some new numbers today regarding unemployment, and it's very sobering. This, according to NPR, the number of people seeking unemployment benefits shot up again last week as 6.6 million more people filed initial claims, the Labor Department said today. About 16.8 million have filed in the past 3 weeks, and analysts expect the numbers to keep rising. Oh, joy. The stock market rally in the last 2 weeks has completely baffled me because these numbers are insane, and I only think they're going to continue to go up in the coming weeks. And regardless, the stock market's like, yeah, we're going to go up 3,000 points in the last 2 weeks. What is going on besides the Fed buying up everything in sight? But to me, there is still so many more unknowns on the horizon right now. And we're all kind of experiencing that collective worry and anxiousness together. And there are signs of optimism. I don't want to linger too long on the negative here. I was listening to Dr. Fauci, who, by the way, you should listen to Fauci and Birx. Every single day, you should say, what are Fauci and Birx saying today? Because they've been solid, they're data-driven, and yes, they're deeply immersed in this, and they have very singular thinking as far as their focus on this pandemic. They're not talking about the economy and long-term consequences for the nation and other industries. I get that. But if you're looking for just info about COVID-19 and what we should do as individuals, listen to Fauci and Birx. So he was on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie today. And this first clip, he says, lo and behold, mitigation factors do seem to be working.
Over the weekend on one of the Sunday shows, you were very direct. You said, we are still struggling to get this virus under control. Is that still the case this morning?
Yes, it is, I would say, because as you can see, the deaths, the number of deaths and the cases that we're seeing right now are really validating what we said, that this is going to be a very bad week on the one hand. But on the other hand, as you can see, there are some glimmers of hope, particularly when you look at the situation in New York, where the number of hospitalizations, requirements for intensive care and intubation over the last few days have actually stabilized and starting to come down. So even though we're seeing that increase in deaths, as we've seen, unfortunately, like yesterday, was the worst day for deaths that we've seen thus far. But what feeds that is the number of new cases. And I believe, and many do, that the mitigation, the physical separation that we've initiated, is starting to have a real effect now. So we are hoping, with cautious optimism, that at the same time we're in for a bad week, we're going to start to see a turnaround. So we need to just hope that that happens. I think it will.
That's, dare I say, great news. And you need to understand that there's always a lag between policies that are implemented and numbers that come out. So we will see the results from all these mitigation factors slowly, steadily accrue in the coming days and weeks. But what we're doing right now seems to be working. And everybody seems to be fixated on this idea of the death toll. Will it be 100,000, 200,000? You heard some people saying if we hadn't done anything, it could be as many as 2 million. Oh, everybody's freaking out. Shut everything down. Well, Fauci has now revised the death toll estimate, perhaps not officially, but he says it could come in under even that 100,000 figure. And we'll get to that audio clip right after the break. We are up against the clock right now. If you want to give us a call here at the MedVed Show, 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Michael calls me Rockstar Greg, so I'll call myself that as I fill in for the man who's observing Passover today alongside Pride of Hillsdale College, Jeremy Steiner behind the boards. We got a lot more to get to. We will be right back. The Michael Medved Show. Producer Rockstar Greg sitting in for your cultural crusader. Jeremy, I know I'm going to expose myself here, but is this the Stones? Is this the Rolling Stones? Do you know who this is? It's Rod Stewart? Okay, yeah. I do not live up to my credentials here on the program. I was hoping it was going to be perfect because I just watched a Rolling Stones documentary on the Criterion channel called Give Me Shelter. Have you ever seen this? Everybody's looking to stream stuff now that we're all quarantined, and sheltering in place. By the way, I hate that term. Sheltering in place is something you do when there's like a bomb threat or like an active shooter. Stay at home is the appropriate things to say. Sheltering in place sounds way more severe and threatening. But Gimme Shelter is this ridiculously crazy rockumentary known as one of the greatest of all time, where they document the Stones playing at Altamont Speedway in 1969. Give me a minute to riff on this for a second. It was supposed to be like a West Coast version of Woodstock, and it happened 4 months after the Summer of Love. And everybody had these great, wonderful, joyful, hippy-dippy feelings. And we're going to close out the 60s with peace, love, joy, make love, not war. And it was a nightmare. Someone ends up getting murdered at the concert, and they catch all of it on film. And it's like this notorious piece of pop culture now. And I was amazed that I hadn't seen it before. So if you're looking for some heavy viewing, but a piece of history, a moment in time captured on film, check out Gimme Shelter through the Criterion channel. We stream it through Apple TV. That's a shameless plug. I don't get anything from plugging the Criterion channel. But I wanted to get to the second cut from Dr. Fauci today, who's on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie. And again, some more good news, cautiously optimistic. Let's hear what he had to say about the tweaking of death toll estimates now.
Is that the flattening of the curve that everybody so famously talks about in New York? Are we seeing the flattening of the curve in this first initial hotspot?
You know, I don't want to jump the gun on that, Savannah, but I think that is the case. You want to see a steady several-day program and profile like that. I think that's what's going on. I'm always very cautious about jumping the gun and saying, well, we have turned the corner. But I think we are really looking at the beginning of that, which would really be very encouraging. We need that right now.
The initial projections, which took a lot of people's breath away, was potentially 100 to 240,000 deaths in this country. Now we have data, not just models, but actual data to plug in and assess. Do you think the number of fatalities in this country will be significantly lower than the 100,000 to 240,000 first projected?
I do, and I believe that the mitigation, I think the American public have done a really terrific job of just buckling down and doing those physical separation and adhering to those guidelines. As I've told you on the show, models are really only as good as the assumptions that you put into the model. But when you start to see real data, you can modify that model, and the real data are telling us that it is highly likely that we're having a definite positive effect by this mitigation things that we're doing, this physical separation. So I believe we are going to see a downturn in that, and it looks more like the 60,000 than the 100 to 200,000. But having said that, we better be careful that we don't say, okay, we're doing so well, we could pull back. We still have to put our foot on the accelerator when it comes to the mitigation and the physical separation.
That is really good news. And if I could take executive guest host privilege for a second, be of good cheer heading into this weekend. The sacrifices that we're all making right now collectively as a neighborhood, a city, a state, as a country, they seem to be paying off to a degree. We won't know the big picture until more time passes. And I don't think it's a trivial discussion to ask, has it been worth it to shut down the economy? That is a conversation absolutely worth having. And there will be a time for that. We can do a little bit of that now. But I think we'll look back at this when all the totals come in and weeks and even perhaps months have passed and be able to have that more of a serious conversation. Can you put a price on a life? I don't think you can. But what parts of industries or society do you completely shut down, and how far do you go? We're going to be continuing to have that conversation in the coming weeks and months. So have people been turning to substances to bring escape or happiness during these times? Well, we turn now to Chicago, where the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, has placed a 9 p.m. liquor purchasing curfew in place that starts today. I think it's safe to say you're going to see an increase in daytime drinking in Chicago. Why'd she do this? Well, they just had an upsurge of violence. I think it was something like 7 people dead and 14 injured in Chicago. People not abiding by stay-at-home orders. This is the mayor of Chicago.
A liquor curfew will remain in place through the duration of Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order. I want to be clear on this. Like our closure of the lakefront 2 weeks ago, this is not punitive, it's protective. Nonetheless, as with our lakefront closure, we are putting this curfew in place because too many individuals and businesses have been violating the stay-at-home order. An order which was put in place to keep us safe from this pandemic and to save lives.
Okay, fine. I'm not sure that putting down a liquor curfew at 9 p.m. is going to bring all of the violence in Chicago to a screaming halt, but you might as well try, right? Okay, I don't care, as long as people can still purchase during the day. But let me say this, going back to this idea of using substances to get us a bit of superficial happiness or escape during these difficult times. I know there's lots of memes circulating online through social media and the like about, you know, happy hours and definitely moved up to all day, you know, things like that. But, and I know it's kind of fun and funny to make jokes about it, but let me say this, word of warning, if you are turning to copious quantities of substances to alleviate your distress at this time, may I venture a guess that your true joy resides in pleasure seeking? And I'm saying this more for people that feel the need to continuously do it, like on a daily basis. It's okay to have an adult beverage every once in a while in the evening and blow off some steam. That's totally all right. But proceed with caution, because these times in our lives, when you face a little bit of adversity, it is so easy to turn to something, some agent, to try to make it all okay for you. And then before you know it, it's the frog in the kettle thing where you slowly turn up the heat instead of being thrown into boiling water. You grow accustomed to the new habits that you have formed, and that can be very dangerous. And that's coming from someone speaking from experience myself and dealing with bouts of food addiction over my lifetime. Okay, we're waiting a Trump's press briefing in the White House right now. Yesterday at the press briefing, he received a question about a show that is streaming on Netflix called Tiger King.
One of the biggest rating hits of the coronavirus, aside from these briefings, has been a show on Netflix called Tiger King.
Yeah.
And the man who's the star of this is a former zoo owner who's serving a 22-year prison sentence. He's asking you for a pardon, saying he was unfairly convicted. Your son yesterday jokingly said that he was going to advocate for it. And I was wondering if you've seen the show and if you have any thoughts on pardoning Joe Exotic.
Which son? It must be Don. I had a feeling it was Don. Is that what he said?
What are we doing here? Who is the guy who asked that question? I saw a video of it. He looks like he's about 19 years old. And I don't mean that as an insult. But you're in the White House press briefing room and you're asking the leader of the free world about Joe Exotic. Well, Trump took the bait and he answered the question. And we'll get to it right after this break. It's Greg Tomlin sitting in for the Michael Medved Show, one of Michael's producers, alongside Jeremy Steiner running the boards today. We will be right back. Producer Greg Tomlin in for the Michael Medved Show as your cultural crusader observes Passover. Some shameless plugs now. Join as a Medhead now. 50% off at the Medved History Store. Downloads for all annual members, plus spring sale going on. Use promo code SPRING40 for $20 off an annual membership for new members only. Go to michaelmedved.com and click on that Medhead banner. If you believe in what we're doing here on the show, if you think the message that Michael gives out every single day is worthwhile, consider becoming a Medhead and gift a membership to a friend while you're at it. Okay, Joe Biden continues to reside in his library bunker. I don't really know where he is, but I see these videos, the grainy video, come out almost daily now, where it seems to be that the setup if you want to look smart and give off some gravitas, you have to have at least 300 books behind you while you're connected over Zoom. And then you have immediate credibility. So Biden is no exception to this rule, but he's been giving interviews. And in fact, he took part in a virtual town hall while in isolation. And he, he tried to put together a coherent thought. And it sounded like this.
We have to make sure everyone has access to maintain and maintain affordable health insurance coverage. We should be making it easier, not harder, to make sure to make sense to, let me put it another way. It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
You know the thing. Look, do I have sympathy for Joe Biden, or am I someone who wants to pounce every time where he has sort of a gaffe, which seems to be more and more common these days? I will say this. The emerging narrative for the people that want to take down Joe Biden and make sure he doesn't become the next president of the United States is that he's old and he's senile and he can't put together a coherent thought. And so once that narrative begins to catch fire, then people look over every single second of every single interview and speech to see if they can validate that preconceived notion about a person. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. There's an abundance of material out there to show that Joe Biden has a hard time putting together sentences regularly. And this will be a challenge for him in presidential debates. And as he is the Democratic nominee now, there's going to be even more pressure and even more of a microscope put on him. And it's something that he will have to overcome because Trump will not let him live it down when we get around to the debates at some point. Who knows when those will be. But I will say this. Remember when progressives hated George W. Bush? What was the narrative? He's stupid. He's a monkey. He doesn't say anything rational. He's a moron. And then everybody would selectively edit 10-second clips where he was searching for some words. He goes, see, Bush is an idiot. When it was Obama, a conservative said, he says a lot. Obama says he can't talk. Is there a bit of that going on with Joe Biden right now? Yes, I think so. And at the same time, how much of the criticism is legit and warranted? Because the guy's pushing 80. The guy is pushing 80, and if he wins the presidency, he will turn 80, I believe, while he's in office. And that's not a trivial discussion to have. That is a serious issue. And the more the guy talks, the more people seem to be concerned. And I'm just saying, run it through your filter of, okay, is this 15-second clip I'm hearing really indicative of a 15-minute interview, or is it warranted? I think we should always be asking ourselves these questions at every turn, and that goes for Trump, too. Progressives say about Trump, he's evil, he doesn't care about anybody, he's a bumbling idiot, and then they'll post and repost some 15-second clip. It is something I hate about this era that we live in, and I'll turn the focus on myself. I'm guilty of this, absolutely. I try to do it less and less on social media and online to score cheap, cheap political points and get retweets. But I'll tell you, it's very intoxicating when people like some political point that you have on social media. It absolutely is. I was retweeted by Ted Cruz about a year ago for some clip I posted from the movie Ghostbusters. And I said, oh, this looks like Democrats talking about the end of net neutrality. And it was Bill Murray saying, lava's going to rain from the skies, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. And Ted Cruz thought it was hilarious, retweeted it, and I got 6,000 likes. And you know what my first thought was? How can I do more of this? How could I get more followers by scoring these political points and having a U.S. senator retweet me? It was all too easy. It was hilarious. It was so simple to take a stupid dig at the opposing side. And so I understand why we're in this moment. And the worst part of our human nature, the self-glorifying part of it, the part that goes, I want more eyeballs on me. I want more followers. I want more attention. I want more love. I want more validation. It's very hard to counter that and go, no, I'm going to put a premium on patience, understanding, goodwill, affording some grace to someone else in this situation. That stuff doesn't sell. That stuff doesn't get clicks. And so it's counterintuitive, but I would challenge everybody to do more of that, myself included. Fruit of the Spirit, if you want to get biblical for a moment. Okay, I want to get back to this question that Trump received yesterday about Joe Exotic. Yes, it really did happen. The show on Netflix, The Tiger King, is a phenomenon. I have to admit, I watched one episode. But here's what I heard about the show. You got a crazy guy who owns a bunch of tigers. You want to watch? And I thought, okay, I'll give it a chance because I need to be privy to what everybody's watching. First episode was pretty captivating. Okay, I'll give the second episode a chance. The second episode starts, some guy's arm gets bitten off by a tiger. And I thought to myself, what am I doing with my life right now? And I'm watching in real time some person on my television realizing that they no longer have an arm for the rest of their life. They're in shock. Why do I want to watch this? Why does anybody want to watch these crazy people? So that's where I, to borrow a phrase, cut off myself from watching the series. But millions of people in droves seem to be watching it. So President Trump was asked about it. Is he going to pardon this Joe Exotic guy? Listener, beware, there are some spoilers here.
Know nothing about it. He has 22 years for what? What did he do?
He allegedly hired someone to murder an animal rights activist, but he said that he didn't do that. And he was.
You think he didn't do it? Are you on his side?
Are you
recommending a pardon?
No, I'm not advocating anything.
As a reporter, you're not allowed to do that. You'd be criticized by these. Would you recommend a pardon?
I'm not weighing in on time.
I don't think you would. Go ahead. You have a question?
Like,
I'll take a look. Is that Joe Exotic? That's Joe Exotic.
I'm just at least grateful that the presser didn't get kicked off with this question. Let's begin the presser today. Have you seen Tiger King, Mr. President, considering a pardon? I'm not saying we should revoke this guy's press credentials, but come on. Let's elevate the discussion here during the time of a pandemic. I know the guy baited Trump by saying, yeah, the ratings are through the roof and Trump loves ratings. Got it. Okay, last bit of news here we're going to end the show with, as we still await the press briefing today. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen while we're on the air, but stay tuned here to 770 KTTH, as I'm sure Jason Rantz will go to it live as it's happening. Someone on The View was rumored to be heading towards retirement, but maybe not so much. Who is it?
You know, they're always talking about my leaving the show, but I'm not leaving the show. So let me say that rumors of my retirement have been greatly exaggerated.
Good. She should stay on the show because we'll have plenty more content to talk about as long as she is there. Happy, healthy, and working on The View. That's Joy Behar. All right. Thanks for tuning in. It's been rockstar Greg Tomlin sitting in for your cultural crusader as he's out observing the Jewish holiday of Passover. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Jeremy Steiner, for getting me through it. And thank you all for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.